بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So today on Dean Tours 100th podcast.
100 episodes, man.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
Anyways, we got a very, very beautiful topic of discussion for today, and it's going to be the topic of Jannah. Like, I know, like, we dive into a little bit in some episodes, but a whole episode dedicated to the topic of Jannah.
To Jannah and the flip side, because, you know, there's no Jannah without the hellfire. So let's start with the day of judgment, right? Because you're not going to, everybody has to be called to account.
You know, I have something. It's beautiful, and this is something that can get us started in the best way possible.
Dang, not even 1 minute, and we already interrupted.
In Surah Sa'd, there's a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the prophets, and he says that he chose them for a specific and exclusive quality, and that is for the remembrance of the home, like, i.e. the hereafter. Remembrance of the hereafter. And it starts, your hereafter starts when you die. So how about we start there? We talk about the grave, we talk about death. We talk about what, and this life, every single minute counts, and that's something that you have to really internalize and realize, is that you're being accounted for. You're being accounted for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in, you know, Surah Al-Anbiya, اِقْتَرَبَ السَّاعَةَ, when, like, the people are in, like, a heedlessness, and they think that they're doing right. That the time for account has come, and the people are in heedlessness. They're not realizing what's going on. They're just going day by day by day. They're distracted by this. They're distracted by this. They're distracted by this. Not worried about their own selves. And it's a dishonor to yourself. It's like some people, they don't take themselves seriously. They don't take their lives seriously, as if this is not serious.
And I like how you brought up your hour starts when you've reached the grave. Mm-hmm. So you already know where your abode is once you're in the grave. You know what's going to happen to you. Now, the extent of your punishment is not necessarily told to you until the day of judgment, because there's a hadith where Prophet ﷺ says, like, call yourselves to account before you're called to account, mm-hmm. right? So, like, take accountability of yourself before, you know, Allah's going to force you to. Mm-hmm. Allah's going to force you to look at your book, to read your deeds. He's going to expose every little thing that you ever did, good and bad, right? And if the bad outweighs the good, then what happens? You're going to be thrown into the hellfire. But for those whose scale is heavy with good deeds, then for them is paradise. And that, mm-hmm. you know, that's the promise of Allah. And Allah mentions Jannah Allah in the Quran. He reminds you of death, and he also reminds you of the flip side, which tells you about the hellfire. He warns you about the hellfire for what? To put fear in your heart so that you think about what you're about to do. If we only knew about the good, then we would never, you know, account ourselves for whatever bad we mm-hmm. could be doing. Mm-hmm. And something I was telling someone yesterday was that when you seek forgiveness from Allah, it's not just out of fear for his punishment, but it's also about the fact that you do things that are bad for yourself that you don't even know. Sometimes you commit sins you don't consider to be sins. Mm-hmm. Maybe because you follow the wrong opinion. Maybe because you're unaware, so you're ignorant. Mm-hmm. And doing things out of ignorance will only get you so far. Because at a point, the ignorance will turn into arrogance. Because if you have the ability to learn, if Allah put the sign right in front of your face and you ignored it, now you're arrogant. Now you're a person who Allah could throw into the hellfire, because someone with a mustard seed of arrogance, right?
Mm-hmm. Will not enter paradise.
Will not enter paradise. And when you think about what a mustard seed is, that's the smallest level of arrogance in your heart. The smallest level. It doesn't matter, like, who you thought you were in your life. You have that little bit of arrogance in your heart, whether that's because you thought you were getting away with a certain sin, you thought something wasn't affecting you to the way that it affects others. Like, for example, let's say you don't have the same level of issue lowering your gaze as someone else. Does that make it correct? Does that mean you're allowed to do it?
Absolutely not.
Literally.
Because, like, Allah has commanded you otherwise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I've seen people, like, in the dunya with this type of mentality. And even me, for a time, I held this mentality. I was like, I'm not so affected by women or anything like that because, you know, I fear Allah. But it wasn't to the point where, like, you know, I completely cut off all communication with women. It was just more just like, if you're around me, then, you know, you do you, I'll do me. But nowadays, it's more like, I'm going to stay away from you for, like, all causes, because I don't want anything to, you know, hurt my relationship with Allah. I'd mm-hmm. rather stay away from it, knowing that that's what's best for me, than, you know, test my, how, what I could do.
That reminds me, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and he's always talking about these women that he's hanging around. And I'm like, you know, you shouldn't be hanging around them in the first place. And he was like, well, yeah, that is true. But see, and it's always that but what? Like, what is your justification? Allah has commanded you otherwise. Allah has made it haram onto you. And you're sitting here coming with a but. And then it's like what you said. He came with an excuse or a reason because he thought he wasn't affected as much. But in reality, he probably is. And he's blind to it. He's sitting here saying, oh, yeah, well, I will never feel this type of way when I'm alone with a woman. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at him like, are you okay? Like, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way that you're thinking like that because, you know, worst case scenario, you might not. But Allah has commanded you not to. So that should be the best reason why you shouldn't. You know, it doesn't matter how you're feeling, because if Allah commanded, so who are you to sit here and say and try to justify what you're doing?
And you've seen how someone can change, you know, with that little bit of pressure, right? You think you've been raised the correct way. You think that, you know, some of these influences won't come back to haunt you, and then what happens? You fall into a sin that you'd never wanted to fall into, and now you're regretting it for the rest of your life.
Exactly. It's like, it's not the fact that, okay, perhaps you might not do it, but it's that mentality that you have that can put you in a bad place between you and Allah. Look at the prophets, peace and blessings be upon them. On the day of judgment, in Surah Ma'idah, I remember you used to tell me about these verses all the time, where Allah says he's going to gather the messengers, he's going to question them about like what they brought. Even they're going to be afraid. They've been promised Jannah. Mm-hmm. Even they're going to be afraid, but your mentality is, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Don't worry. Because apparently you're the best. But like it's that mentality. Like perhaps you won't do it. Perhaps, mashallah, you're like you're amazing. You're a good person. You're strong deen. But that mentality, like, how are you gonna answer to Allah when Isa alayhi salam, he said, "Inni abdullah, I'm a slave of Allah." And you here, you think that you're just like nothing can affect you.
You know what's so crazy? It's that idea of this won't happen to me or I'm different. That gets all of us, right? Because there are certain things that happen in this world. Maybe someone dies in an airplane crash. You know, you never rode an airplane in your life, so you might not have to worry about that. But that doesn't mean it, you know, something similar can't happen to you, right? But we always sit here, we go with this mentality, oh, I can go to the clubs. That doesn't mean I won't die in the club. Yada, 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 right? But here you are being promised the day of judgment, being promised, being put in the grave and being questioned, being promised that if you do righteous deeds, you will be entered into Jannah, being promised the fact that if you do wrong, that you will be put into the hellfire. And yet here you are sitting here and like, oh, I have such and such time to repent. Oh, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. It's not going to affect me. It's not going to touch me. But like, you are being promised by Allah, Rabbul Alameen, that these things are going to happen to you. Why are you not, in a sense, you know, where's the sense of urgency to go ahead and return back to Allah and do the right thing?
And it's also like how you're saying people think that certain things don't affect them the way that it affects other people. But had you like taken yourself away from those things because it had been better for you, think about how Allah would have elevated your status. I'll give you an example, right? There are a lot of people, you know, there's mixed opinions, regardless of what people think. Some think that, you know, it's okay to listen to music so long as it's not bad and it doesn't take you away from Allah, which is okay. But have you ever thought about, you know, the flip side, where if you just stopped it altogether because you feel like it's better for you and just started listening to more Quran, you may memorize a lot more Quran and may develop a better relationship with Allah. Because I'll tell you right now, regardless of how you feel about something like music, you'll never ever get closer to Allah listening to music. Never. I promise you that. And that, why would Allah reveal the Quran the way that it's revealed and not reveal something like music? Why would he not tell you, oh, go sing songs, go make songs and stuff for my remembrance? No, he said, remember me by memorizing the Quran, by reading the Quran, because it's a book for his remembrance.
It's the best form of dhikr.
That's subhanAllah, right? Great point. Well, like, great point.
Yeah, and going back, you know, I've seen some people who say, like, oh, if I was to, you know, have this fard obligation, right? Let's say a man, he tells a woman, oh, if I was to wear hijab, I'd wear it correctly. You don't know that. You don't know that, you know? You don't know certain people's struggles. So it's very important for us to walk into the world knowing that, you know, our struggles are not other people's struggles and their struggles are not our struggles. It's important for us to be empathetic upon one another and not to go out in the land without a purified heart. A purified heart is going to help you to assume the best of others.
And look, I see a lot of people, you know, they look at the people around them, they look at the state of people like who may be non-believers or who may not be like, who they don't see them as practicing as them or whatnot. And you, it's important to realize, and we've all heard this before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the dunya, gives wealth to those whom he loves and those whom he doesn't love. but he only gives iman to those whom he loves. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself listening to Quran and you feel that in your heart and you want to get teary-eyed and you hear the words of Allah and it makes you feel a certain way, you got to understand that's the biggest blessing. You're rich. You're richer than rich. Mm-hmm. And then in the evidence in this is in the Quran all over the place. We've had prophets who were rich. We've had prophets who didn't have no dominion. We've had prophets like Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam. They had kingdoms. Look at and they were honored. And you can see that honor in the Quran. They were outstanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And then you see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't have a kingdom, but he was honored. He was the seal of the prophets. It's not about the wealth. It's not about the material. It's not about the status. It was about their character, their honor, and their hearts. It was about that. They had such deep love an affinity towards the hereafter, an affinity towards Allah. They had such iman.
And let's talk about that real quick. You mentioned us being part of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, right? And you know, let's talk about the magnitude of that and how that, you know, brings us forth towards Jannah and towards the hereafter. Mm-hmm. For one, we're the first Ummah to be judged. We're the first people to be judged. That's both a blessing and it could be a curse, because some of the worst people are going to be part of this ummah, because you know the best message from Allah, you know, the final message mm-hmm. from Allah came to this ummah. So the people who turn away, you know, that's not something you want to be a part of. In the same thing, hypocrites, they're part of every ummah, but you know, Allah tells you some of the worst types of people are hypocrites, mm-hmm. people who claim to be Muslim while they're in fact hiding. Not actually Muslim. You know, they hide. They actually side with the kuffar in certain situations. They're lazy when they're going to pray, and other characteristics. But think about how, you know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, came to this ummah. And if you follow him, you're gonna be guaranteed paradise.
Look, going back to this idea of that you guys mentioned before of not knowing, right? You don't know what other people's struggles are. And you don't know also the people that you surround yourself with, how much they really affect you. It's like when a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, when is the hour? And the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say?
What did you prepare for?
What did you do to prepare? And he said, I love Allah and his messenger. And he said, then you will be with the ones that you love. Imagine you're sitting here, you're loving the people who are non-Muslims, who are, you know, who are driving you away from the remembrance of Allah, and they drive you out of paradise.
I don't know. It's like, and also it brings up another point. In paradise, think about who you would be around. Like, hold on, yeah.
I'll tell you who you're going to be around. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. An-Nabiyyin, right? The prophets. As-Siddiqeen, all right? The ones who were truthful in their acts of worship. As-Salihin, the ones who were righteous in their acts. And as-Shuhada, the ones who died in the sake of Allah. Look, these are the people that you want to surround yourself with. These are the people of Jannah, mm-hmm. right? May Allah make us amongst those people.
I mean, you're going to be around. You're going to be around good company. The best company. You're gonna be around people whom Allah has chosen for Jannah. You're like, damn, I'm here. Like, imagine that. You be in a place where the prophets, peace and blessings be upon them, are. Mm-hmm. And then, but like, look at it like the vice versa. If you in hellfire, who you with? You with the liars? You with the cheaters? You with the backstabbers? You with the backbiters?
You with the people who deserve to be in there? Yeah, Let's not forget that point.
Exactly. You with the people? You're the people who cheated people. You're with the people who committed mass murders. You're with those people.
You wanna know something crazy? When you guys talk about both sides, right, Jannah and Jahannam, the way I like to think about it, and this is like something that helps me a lot, is I think about myself in Jahannam first. Because if I think about where I'm closest to, I'm going to think about Jahannam first. Because you want to be, if you're fearful of that, you're going to be thinking that you're like, you're part of those people until, you know, you're told that you're not. Because at the end of the day, you have no idea how righteous you are, how much good you've done, or you know, how well you've worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life until he tells you you've done enough, and until he tells you udkhul jannati, right? Mm-hmm. So you never know how much good you've done. So you always think about Jahannam first. Think about, you know, that hellfire. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded you of that. Why did he remind you of this place? Mm-hmm. A place that is so wretched for the people that shaitan has been guaranteed this place ever since he disobeyed Allah one time. Right, the arrogance in his heart did not allow him to seek forgiveness from that wrong that he did. All it did was make him want to misguide, you know, mankind even more. Being among the people like Fir'aun, imagine you're in hellfire. You're among these types of people. See, we talked about being among the prophets in Jannah, but imagine being among Fir'aun and mm-hmm. Shaitan mm-hmm. and you know the people who turned away from Allah's remembrance. Literally, people who the Prophet ﷺ came to them with these signs. And they still turned away. So you're going to be in Jahannam with them. Or the people of Fir'aun who followed Fir'aun this whole time while Musa alayhi salam came to them with the message. or Ibrahim alayhi salam's father, his son, a messenger, one of Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, and he turned away from the message, threatened to stone him, threw him in a fire. Like these types, those are the people that you're part of if you make it to Jahannam.
And to add to that, the harsh reality of the hellfire, you know, your faces are going to be burnt off. The food you're going to eat is going to burn your stomach. Imagine that you're going to eat from, you know, Shajarat Zakum, right? Mm-hmm. The tree in the hellfire, and its roots are deeply planted at the bottom of hellfire, absorbing what? The sweat, the pus, the bodies of, you know, the shayateen, the criminals, the wretched people. Imagine that. That's what's going ahead and nurturing the tree, and you're eating from its fruit, a fruit that's so bad. The Prophet ﷺ said in the Tirmidhi that if a fruit of zakum was to go ahead and be dropped onto the earth, it would destroy all life on earth. Now imagine the one whose food that is.
And imagine, this is not like a game. Like, you're not getting no rest. There is no break. There is no, like, and you're going to have to live in with the fact that there's going to be people that are like, that aren't suffering. Like, because remember, in Surah Araf, there's a conversation between the people of Hellfire and the people of Jannah.
And what are they going to be saying? Like, please give us some water. Yeah,
please give us anything or from what Allah has provided.
And what are they going to say? Allah has made it haram. For the kuffar, mm-hmm. for the people of hellfire for them to get that, because look, at the end of the day, like in paradise there is no bad feelings, but yet they're still going to be able to talk with the people of the hellfire. But there's wisdom in that, because when you look at the people of hellfire, you look at what Allah has saved you from, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it only gets up to a certain point, because Allah, you know, just the idea and the thought of Jahannam should be, you know, terrifying, and should put a level of discomfort. So you know what I mean? Like, it's a scary route to think.
Like,
of.
Think about it right now. It's just like, this is like it's the highest form of unpleasurable experiences ever. You're not like, you think like in this world, like you have a bed, you have these things. Jahannam.
And that is one of the things that should push your iman, which is why I say think about that first before you think about Jannah. Because Jannah, it holds what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no heart could ever, you know, feel or imagine, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to truly put yourself in the, you know, state of mind to truly be pious when you're only thinking about Jannah, because you can't imagine it. But Jahannam, Allah painted a picture for you so that you understand. Like, your teeth are going to be the size of mountains.
But hold on. When Allah describes Jahannam and Jannah, like, he's only using words at a level of our understanding. At the end of the day, like, we don't know exactly how bad it's really going to be or how good Jannah is really going to be, based on our imagination, because we can't. Like, imagine someone sitting in hellfire for eternity. You can't think about eternity. Imagine someone sitting in Jannah and you're telling them their life is only going to get better and better and better and better for eternity. Like, you can't imagine that in this world. Mm-hmm. But like, look, you know, going back to the other side of, from Jahannam back onto Jannah. فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَاءٍ غَيْرِ عَاصِمٍ. Like, fresh water that we can drink from rivers. That, we, you know, we can go ahead and drink from, like, you know, we come here, like, we could drink from anywhere. Just think about that.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's bad. Nothing's moldy. Nothing's rotten. Nothing's expired. Everything, good smell.
Yeah.
Good smell. Like, imagine, good smells, good food. Like, you have from any bird, anything, any meat that you wish. What's the first food we're going to eat in Jannah?
The fish liver, man.
Like, subhanAllah.
Look,
good company.
And the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the rivers of water, milk, honey, and
exactly.
Wine. Like, subhanAllah, you know, these things, they're so beautiful to you. And when, you know, I think about Jahannam first, then I think about Jannah. It, like, makes it, like, gives you a boost of iman, because, like, you're fearful of this, but then you're like, man, I want this so bad, right? Because they're opposites of each other.
Exactly. Like, you know, you just mentioned the rivers. Like, you know, the first one we brought up was the water. Like the milk, what's wrong with milk here in this world?
It spoils
after a while. But Allah just said, like, it never changes in its taste. Like, subhanAllah, just think about that.
SubhanAllah.
Then what's it called? وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرٍ لَتَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Like, you know, and also rivers of wine that we don't get intoxicated from. Like, imagine that. Here, you drink alcohol, right? And guess what happens? You become more and more heedless. You're less aware of your surroundings. But you drink the wine of Jannah, and guess what? You're more aware. You're more, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It's crazy to think about.
Like, what's a little sin? What's a little sin compared to Jannah?
And then look, and then you're gonna love this. Like rivers of honey, bro. Like I remember, like you put me on a croissant with the honey. Like it tastes so good, bro. Just imagine like the rivers of honey in paradise. Like it's crazy to think about.
And I want you to imagine, like he's bringing up all these pleasures that you can find within this dunya. Like what are any of those compared to what Jannah can offer you, or what are any of these, you know, these mispleasures, you know, these things that we think are pleasurable to us in this dunya, but really they take us away from Allah. What are those compared to what Jannah can offer you, right? So I just want you to imagine like what that feeling is like, you know, when you think about what you're trying to chase in Jannah, and think about all the ahadith and all the verses of the Quran where we're told small things that we could do that can help us find Jannah.
You want to know the most interesting thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent us the Quran so that perhaps we can get to Jannah, so that we can get to the rivers of the honey and rivers of wine. We can have these pleasurable experiences. Is that not a mercy from Allah? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he prescribed for himself mercy. Surah An'am, go look at it. He wrote upon himself mercy.
You know what's so crazy? The verse that we just brought up about the honey, the water, the, you know, the wine, all those rivers. Mm-hmm. At the end, what does Allah say? A lot of forgiveness is for these people. Mm-hmm. Like, subhanAllah.
Like, Jannah's filled with...
You enter Jannah through Allah's mercy. You never enter, like, based on, you know, you were, like, the best person. You did X amount of good deeds. No, Allah entered you through His mercy. Allah forgave you. Because, you know, thing is, Jannah's going to be filled with what? A whole bunch of sinners who repented. So Allah showed forgiveness onto you. The gratefulness onto Allah is going to be, you know.
Like, subhanAllah. And look at the essence of repentance. As if we think, like, it's such a, like, hard thing to do. All you have to do is you have to feel remorse for your action and ask Allah.
And when you think about the way that you're going to be judged on the day of judgment, you think about how you can do enough bad deeds, but you can never do enough good deeds. Because Allah will not enter you into paradise by your good deeds. You know, our actions are judged by intentions, but it is ultimately through His mercy. But your bad deeds will certainly send you to the hellfire. So you can do enough bad deeds, whether one bad deed equals one bad deed and one good deed equals 10 good deeds, those bad deeds will stack up more than the good deeds, and you'll never notice it. Because once Allah allows you to keep that heedlessness in your heart, you'll never think about a good deed because you're never doing it for the sake of Allah. And if you're not doing a good deed for the sake of Allah, it'll never count. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you held the door open for an old person. If you didn't do it with the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your mind, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. Allah will allow your deeds to be fruitless, because you think about it. What does Allah say for the non-Muslims in the Quran who've done good in this life?
Allah, like...
Their deeds will be made fruitless.
Yeah. Fruitless on the day of judgment. But here, they'll see their effect. They'll see good here, right? That's why
they'll be repaid in full here.
Yeah, huh? They'll be repaid in full here.
Why though? Because Allah is the most just.
Allah is the most just. Allah is the most just. SubhanAllah.
All right. So if you think, oh, you just have to be a good person to be a good person, but you don't think about how it affects your relationship with Allah, then those actions will never be counted towards you.
That's really interesting though. Like what you guys just said. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever like desires this world and, you know, it's like pleasures and all of its like, you know, amusement, then okay, we'll give him from this world and we'll give him everything. That like we're repaying him in full, but for him is there's no sharing the hereafter. He didn't put no sacrifice. He didn't put forth. He didn't put his foot down. Like, and that's a scary reality to think about. Okay, alhamdulillah, you could be doing good here, but you like the remembrance of, like I said in the beginning of the episode, the remembrance of the home, the hereafter.
And you think about how, you know, everybody's investing in something here, right? They're investing in their career. They're investing in their houses, their whatever it may be. But how much are you investing into your akhirah? Mm-hmm. Like. And what that means is like it's time, it's effort, it's even something monetary. You may have to pay money to get something to help you with your akhirah, whether that's like buying certain books to help you increase your knowledge or help you get closer to Allah, or paying your way to go to umrah. That's an investment in your akhirah. Like mm-hmm. What?
And you want to know something interesting that like we necessarily haven't talked about yet? We've talked about good company, but we haven't talked about the company that we had in this world being with them in Jannah. Imagine if you have a spouse, you can be with them in Jannah. Imagine you have your brothers, you be with them in Jannah. You're doing everything that you said, like here that you perhaps couldn't do. Perhaps it looked like you were missing out, but in Jannah you're chilling.
Here's the thing, like in Jannah, there's going to be different levels, right? But and like the levels are like very very different. But here's the thing though, like in Jannah, you will never feel left out, because let's say like you know you're in a higher rank than Jannah. You're for those that I know, like may Allah grant it to you. Mm-hmm. And like I'm at the lowest level, like you know what I'm saying, like I'm not gonna feel that, you know, that sense of envy, or I'm not gonna even notice the fact that okay, like you know he's in such a higher place than me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy to think about. But hold on. What do family members get to do, though? Like, let's say you're in a higher rank than Jannah than all of us, or you're in a higher rank than all of us. Like, if Allah placed one condition onto these people. If these people had iman and they were your family members, that you can raise their ranks in Jannah. Like, subhanAllah, think about that. Like, and some of the scholars even say that not only your family, but even the people that you associated with, teachers, students, friends, family, whatever. Like, you know, if these were people that you surround yourself with, like, inshallah, like, may Allah, like, give us this ability to go ahead and raise their ranks as well.
And this is now, like, giving you guys, you know, some ideas to think about. Like, you know, watch who you're surrounding yourself with. You know, be kind to your family, because, you know, one thing about me is I always think about how I want my family to be in Jannah with me, right? Not just, you know, my siblings, but my parents. Because, you know, my parents, they raised me when I was small. You know, they raised me up when I was small. They gave me this religion of Islam by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, and without them, you know, it's hard to imagine where you'd be at in life. So to be able to be in Jannah with them, you're being the same age. You guys are in the height of your youth, right? And mm-hmm. you guys get to, you know, experience that blissfulness of Jannah, you know, the tranquility of being in paradise, you know, and asking Allah for anything that your heart desires.
That's the other thing. Like, in Jannah, like, Allah is going to completely reshape us, recreate us in a whole different way, mm-hmm. right? Like you said, we're all going to be young. You know, going back to the story with the lady with the prophet, she said, like, will I be in Jannah? He said, no. She started crying, and he said, that's because, like, you know, no old person will be in Jannah. Everyone will be young, mm-hmm. you know? And then, like, we hear some things like, you know, we're going to have the height of Adam, alayhi salam, like, we're going to be as wide as him as well. We're going to have the voice of Dawood alayhi salam, as he had, like, the best of voices. You know, you're going to have the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, as he was the, you know, the most beautiful of the prophets. Like, you know, subhanAllah, just think about that.
Never get old.
I also want you to think about how on the day of judgment, when we're called to account, which type of people do you want to be with, right? The day of judgment is supposed to feel like 50,000 years long. But it's not 50,000 years for every single individual. You know, some people, the day of judgment feel like
two to God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. Guess what? We all have the same 24 hours here in this life. Yeah. Some people, their days are like, oh, man, my day was long. And then other days, you're like, man, this day went by fast. Yeah, we shared the same exact time.
That's fact.
Like, it's just all about, like, what you're doing, who you surround yourself with that's going to go ahead and make that up. You're spending time with your friends. You're having fun. That time is going to go by fast, all right? But yet you're sitting here, you're being a bum. You don't care about your life. You know, you're doing wrong things. Like, the time is not going to go by fast. Like, it's going to feel like you've been here forever. Now imagine on the day of judgment, 50,000 years. It's a day that's going to feel like 50,000 years. You want to be surrounded with people that you like, your companions, right? Your friends who are righteous, right? Because what's going to happen on the day of judgment? Everyone's going to go ahead. They're going to be acting like enemies, right? They don't want to associate with the next person, except for who? The righteous, the mm-hmm. people, you know, the good companions. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, we're all going out looking at, you know, what's going to happen on the day of judgment. We're not associating with anyone, like you said. And some of us even don't even think about, you know, how that's going to affect us. And I want people to start realizing that this is like, you know, a reminder for all of us that could in turn turn you into someone who can become a hypocrite. Because if you're not fearful of these types of things, if you're not constantly reminding yourself of, you know, the reality of the day of judgment, the reality of Jahannam, the reality of Jannah, then you're never going to fear these types of things. You're not going to fear mm-hmm. Allah. And Allah is with those people who fear him. They're the people who are conscious of him. He doesn't necessarily always mention the word fear, but there's other words that bring up, you know, that you have to fear him, fear his punishment, right? Which is something like taqwa, you know, having consciousness of Allah. Consciousness doesn't just mean, hey, I'm remembering Allah for my blessings, but it's also remembering that if I've wronged myself, you know, that Allah wrote that down as a sin for me, right? You always wrong yourself, but Allah's going to record that. And the more you wrong yourself, the worse it's going to be for you, because none of these things will affect Allah. Your good deeds or your bad deeds, none of them will affect Allah.
That's an interesting, like, also, like, a way to look at it, is because all the prohibitions in the Quran and all the, like, the encouragements, like, to doing good for charity, is all for, like, for yourself. And I mean this in a way as if right now you might not be the best version of yourself, but if you wanted to be, you would go to the Quran. And then if you follow that to the T, you would become a person who, like, you would follow all the commands. If you listen to Allah, you'll be honored, you'll be respected, you'll be noble. And then inshallah, your home would be the like a Jannah in the hereafter. And then you would just be like, imagine you have a lot of people who, like, self-improvement is very apparent in our time. You have a lot of people who want this self-improvement, but they don't look to the Quran. If you looked at the Quran and you looked at, like, okay, all the, like, yes, all there's a lot, there's prohibitions and whatnot. Okay, that's all you're looking at. Look at the encouragements. Look out. If you were to follow that to the T with determination and will, like, inshallah, you'll find yourself a completely different person.
Mm-hmm. And then here's just, you know, a word of advice too. There's only two types of people that are going to sit here and listen to what I'm saying, myself included. The ambitious one and then the non-ambitious one. If you're ambitious, why not work for, you know, paradise, knowing how Allah describes it? There's no ill feeling. There's no bad feeling. There's, you know, there's only going up from there. If you're an ambitious person, that's all that you'd ever want. If you're a non-ambitious person in this world, you should also work to that, because if you're going to be a failure in this life, you might as well, you know, do your best to be the best in the next life. And that's with all seriousness, because in this life, it's okay to fail. It's okay to be number two. But in the next life, it's not okay to be number two. You know, you got to be the best. You got to be at the highest rank of Jannah.
SubhanAllah, you know how in this life, right, when, you know, we're chasing success, worldly success, it's never enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may reach your goals, but then, you know, you're always searching for that next thing. How do you not see that as you chasing for Jannah on earth?
Mm-hmm.
Jannah has something that, you know, you'll always be able to achieve something greater. You'll always have something better for you waiting once you, like, look towards it. But here, you have to work towards everything and you're not going to achieve everything. So you're never going to be satisfied. But in Jannah, it's pure satisfaction. There's no flip side to that. You know, there's no dissatisfaction. You're never going to ask for something in Jannah and not get it. Or you're never going to try to, like, work for something and not get it in Jannah. Like, you're going to see, you know, the results of all your works here in the hereafter. So stop chasing Jannah on earth and start chasing the Jannah that is actually promised for the believers.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Like, when we ask for Jannah, we don't just ask for the base. Even though, alhamdulillah, like, that would be way more than enough. Way more than enough. But we always ask for the highest rank. Like, this is what we should be doing as Muslims. We should always be asking for Jannah al-Firdaus. Like, anytime someone passes, you ask Allah to grant them that rank of Jannah. When you're asking for Jannah, you ask for that rank of Jannah, right? That's the one that you want to work for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys know the story of the final man to enter Jannah on the Day of Judgment, right? The guy was like, is it the guy who's falling on his face on the Sirat, or is it the guy who... he's about to be thrown in hellfire. He's like, oh, Allah, I did not expect this from you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a guy who's like one of the last people to enter Jannah. And his reward in Jannah is still much greater than owning all the earth and everything in it.
Yep.
Right? It's even more than that. I don't know the exact multiples of it, but it was the hadith goes along that lines. And I was like, wow, bro. A guy who, you know, he struggled his entire life, but he was still granted Jannah by Allah's mercy. And this could be any of us, and he's still given, you know, a dominion in Jannah greater than owning the entire earth. And that's what everybody's here chasing anyway. Everybody's chasing some type of, you know, worldly pleasure, whether it's just, you know, owning your own little house, having a nice car, having a nice business, being, you know, financially stable, being comfortable. Nothing more comfortable than being in Jannah with no worries. Nothing to worry about anymore. SubhanAllah. You don't have a family to worry about that. Oh, I have to pay my bills this month. I have to make sure that we have a house. I have to make sure I have to get to work on time. I have to call in sick. You never have to worry about any of this.
Yeah, because that's thing on earth here. Because what? In Jannah, what? We're going to be what? Reclining, right? You're going to be here on earth. You what? Reclining 7 days, 12 days, 14 days, 30 days, 3 months. But guess what? Eventually, you got to get back to work. In Jannah, there is no you got to get back to work. But I was just thinking about this, though. When you were bringing up the last person to enter paradise, imagine the relief and imagine the fear in other people's hearts. The ones in hellfire, like, that was the last person to enter Jannah. Yeah. Meaning what? There's no hope for the rest of us.
Oh,
and then the relief is like, wow, like, Allah has saved me. I'm the last person. Like, wow, like, I was really, like, saved by Allah's grace. Like, it's crazy to think about. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah.
Ameen.
And it's crazy also, like, this is going to be one of the last points, but it's crazy when you think about yourself on the Day of Judgment. Even on this life, a lot of us are going to think that we're deserving of, you know, paradise until we actually reflect and we're just like, okay, the life that we're living right now, are we really deserving of paradise? Because you don't know who's deserving of paradise minus the prophets. And if you say you're deserving of paradise, or if you think that you're closer to paradise right now, then you think you're on the level of the prophets. Even the prophets themselves don't think that they're deserving of paradise. That's why they're coming fearful on the Day of Judgment. They're fearing how they're going to be judged. And so the Ma'idah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He's going to ask Isa ibn Maryam on the Day of Judgment. did you go to the people and tell them to take me, you and your mother as deities besides me? When he, Allah knows exactly what's in this man's heart and what he did, how he delivered his message. But Isa alayhi salam, still going to be fearful of that, still fearful of that, that questioning. Nuh alayhi salam coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after preaching for 950 years and more so than that. And he getting asked, you know, why are there not more followers with you? Huh? Why didn't you spread the message the way that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed you to? Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him he's a grateful servant. How the rest of these prophets, how Adam alayhi salam is going to be asked the way that about eating from the forbidden tree, right? All these prophets, Musa alayhi salam getting asked about killing a man on accident, even though Allah already forgave him. So, you know, you may be forgiven for certain things, you still may be asked about them. But the thing is, the difference between, you know, you seeking forgiveness and still being asked about it is if you repented during that time and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it from you and if he grants you mercy from that. Because Allah will see that if there's any level of arrogance in your heart, any level of negativity in your heart that can take you away from that forgiveness that you sought, those good deeds that you did. You know, if you weren't doing it purely for his sake, if you were donating to that charity because you wanted people to see how much you were about to donate, or if you wanted people to see that, you know, you're a generous person, if you were doing good, or if you were a knowledgeable person because you wanted people to see how much knowledge you held, if you died in the battlefield because you wanted people to see that you're a noble person, Allah will know these things, bro. And that's why it's so important to like continuously renew your intention. Renew your intention and always seek to only please Allah. No man in this world is worth pleasing over Allah. Not your boss, not your parents, not anybody.
Matter of fact, speaking about pleasing others and pleasing Allah, also going back, it's like sometimes like we might meet somebody or we might hear about somebody. We're so eager to meet this person because guess what? We're hearing more and more and more like good things about them. Oh, they've done such and such, you know, this and that. I've talked to them and, you know, you talk to them and you're like, man, like this person's like a great person. I want to go ahead and meet them. Like, just imagine Allah. Allah describes himself. You know, you hear about Allah. Like, we should be eager to meet Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the one who cried for us. Like, you're sitting here, you're crying over people who don't give a damn about you. Mm-hmm. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like he sat there, he cried for you. And yet, you know, you just let that go over your head.
SubhanAllah, bro. You know, I think this 100th episode, man, SubhanAllah, you know, it's been 100 podcast episodes of Deen Tour. And like, what better way to talk about this than on this episode, than this time right now, you know, to remind us of Jahannam, and the Day of Judgment, you know, the realities of, you know, what we're put on this world for, you know, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can see the benefits of our worship, you know, living and striving for the sake of Allah, you know, doing things for the sake of Allah, even being able to achieve success in this dunya, but doing it in a way that brings us closer to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And the only way you do that is by looking to him, by trusting in him and doing your best, inshallah ta'ala. So hopefully you guys were able to reflect on something in this podcast, because, you know, the Quran is a book for reflection. So why is your life not a life of reflection, right? Always looking to reflect. Reflecting daily, reflecting hourly, reflecting on your prayers, reflecting on your du'as, reflecting on how these actions you're doing are bringing you closer to Allah and how your intentions are for the sake of Allah only, right? So always checking yourself, inshallah ta'ala. And with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast episode. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this. We're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars, so we're open to any correction. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.